Romans 23 again. I've been trying to bring some lessons on Psalm 23, a little different viewpoint than I've ever studied and brought before, and been about our everyday needs, our hurts, our pains, our worries, and just everyday issues. In this verse 5 tonight, it's the issue about our hurts, and it's something that we all come in contact with, is our hurts. I know that every one of us has been hurt from one time or another, from either family members, loved ones, friends, enemy, whatever. We all have been hurt. But we just need to let God have our hurts. And it do hurt. And the source of our greatest joy and the source of our greatest and I should say deepest hurts and pain is sometimes the people that we love so dear, and that's sometimes it hurts us the most because of those that we love so dear. So the source of sometimes our greatest and deepest hurts and pain come from those that we love, our family and our friends and just our loved ones, and how we respond to it. It's not what people does to you. It's not how bad your hurt is going on right now, but how that we respond to our hurts. And we respond different ways, but we need to let the Lord have it. God and our hurts. I think God, Joyce misspelled that word there for me. What is it, Joyce? We looked at it, and I looked at it too. It's supposed to be our hurts. God and our hurts, and we got God and our hearts. But it's supposed to be hurts. I'm going to fire my secretary, and I'm going to hire her back for lower wages. And I looked at that, and I didn't even catch it myself. So you have took a cut in pay. She has took a cut in pay. Well, that's pretty close, you know, God in our hearts and God in our hurts. You know, that's what it's all about anyway. I did. I looked at it, and I didn't check. I didn't catch that. But anyway, let's read the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, David says, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us to another close of this day that you've created for us. Lord, you just pull the curtains over the day and just bring us into this nightfall. And Father, we know that you've looked after us today. We thank you. Father, we just want to praise you this hour as we come and hear this hour in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just can't praise you and thank you enough how, God, that you love us and how that you, Father, died on the cross of Calvary for all of our sins. And Father, we just pray that we might look to you because we are your sheep. And Father, we know that you love us and you are the great shepherd. And Father, we just want to thank you for just the blessings of this hour that we able, oh God, to be here. And these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, again, our Lord and our Savior. Our deepest hurts and our deepest joy come from, a lot of times, as I said, the people that we love. But you know, God created us with intents for us to realize and realize that we are people, and also that we need to relate to other people in our areas that we walk in every day of our life. You know, God made us, and we was born into a family, whether just a mother or a father, but we was born into a family, and we're connected to a community as we live in, and other believers that we have here tonight. So he has created us, you know, with an interest to be with one another, and we thank the Lord for that so much. Be in contact with one another. Be in contact with our mother and our father and our sister and our brothers and our friends and our husbands and our wives and our co-workers and our church member, that each one of these that we're connected to, and whether we realize it or not, you're connected to family and friends. and our relationship to the people that we're around, especially to our family. The potential sometimes to be strengthened and be blessed by the people that we're around. As I said, all the one I named, mother, father, sister, brother, all the family, people you work with, and especially the people here we go to church with, has a potential to strengthen us and also to bless us. But also that we know this, they also can be one of the greatest pain and the greatest hurt that we have in our life. Maybe it may not be intentionally, but it may be intentionally. But that's where our greatest pain and our greatest hurt come from, is those we love so much. We get hurt and we hurt others. We all know that to be the truth, do we not? We get hurt and we hurt other people. Just be real about it. We hurt other people, and you know, the damage is not that we get hurt and not that we hurt other people. The damage is how that we respond to our hurts, because we know that we get hurt. We've been hurt. Some people right here this night is hurting for some reason or other, from family members, and loved ones, friends, whatever it might be. But you're hurting. How we respond to it, and sometimes, you know, the wrong response to our hurt is what we usually do. Have the wrong response to our hurts. See, God created us, and we know that we're going to have pain and we're going to have hurts in this life. We can't get out of it. How we respond? Well, we don't need to ignore it. We don't need to ignore it because we know it's there, but sometimes we'll just ignore it. You know, like old John Wayne. It's the John Wayne approach. I got thinking about some movie stars while I was preparing this lesson, and by ignoring it. Old John Wayne. You know, John Wayne's one of my heroes, you know, all the old Westerns. You know, John Wayne, you know what? He'd get knocked down. He'd just keep getting back up, and he'd get shot. You know what? He'd just turn around and fall, and he'd just get back up and just go right on that line of fire. He just ignored it, get knocked down. He'd get up and just keep on going. So we're not John Wayne. We don't need to ignore it like old John Wayne can. He can do that because he's John Wayne. But we don't need to ignore it. We get hurt. We need to understand that we're hurt, you know. But we try to ignore it. But you see, if we ignore it, we'll never get no healing. We get hurt. We'll never get over it till we understand, hey, we got hurt. And I tell you, we need to get over it, but don't ignore it. Next thing we want to do is try to run from it. We want to run from it. When you get hurt, you want to run from it. Now, another one of my heroes, old Barney Feist, old Knox, he's another one of my heroes. Now, old Barney, he's a perfect Mr. Chicken. Buddy and everything got into trouble. He's ready to go, boy. His feet wouldn't, you couldn't keep his feet down. He was ready to get out of here and go. He's going to run from it. He's another one of my heroes, old Barney Feist now. He was a perfect chicken. Our nature, when we get hurt, is we want to run away from our problems and our hurt. That's just our nature. We try to do that. And that only leads to deeper issues in our hurts. And then, you know, we don't try to hide it. Here this night, you know that we have been hurt. If everyone can agree with that we have been hurt. Now we try to really just to hide it, put a mask on it. The Long Ranger approach, put a mask on it. You know, hide behind the mask. Up and away, old Long Ranger. How you doing? Just fine? No, you're not. You've been hurt. You've been hurt. But we try so much to, you know, not to hide it. Somebody asks you, how you doing? And we come to church, how you doing? We just smile and, how you doing? Good? You know, you're not. You've been hurt. But we try to deny it and try to cover it up, try to hide it, run away from it. But we've been hurt. Been hurt bad by our families and a loved one, friend, wife, husband, whatever it might be, whatever relationship might be. The deepest joy causes the deepest hurt. And then, you know, we don't try to worry about it. I uncover this, I think, on the first verse. Don't worry about it, you know. I got to think, who in the world allows another one of my heroes? Well, old Clint Eastwood, you made my day. Make my day. You see, he ain't going to worry about it. He's going to pull out his .45 and just shoot somebody. He ain't going to worry about it. He's going to get it over with. But when we get hurt by a loved one, we fret and we stew about it, and you know, what does that do? That just causes it to go deeper. When the odds is against us, you know what, we want to just worry about it. You know what, we like to worry. You know, we like to worry. We'll worry about it. It's a sin to worry, and I'm going to worry. It's a sin to worry, and I'm going to worry. You mean I'm going to? Yes, I worry. I done covered this one time, but you know what? We just human beings, and you know, we flesh, and we just liable to worry. We add worry to it, though, it just complicates the problems. Did y'all know that? It just complicates the problems. Oh, Clinius, he just, you know, he don't have to worry about it. And how we deal with it hurts is what thing makes things get better or worse, how we deal with it. How we deal with it. Worry. Worry increases the misery, and it magnifies our problem when we worry about it, when we get hurt. And I know we all probably go to church very long. I'm going to tell you, somebody at church is going to hurt you. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. They're going to say things to you that even intentionally or unintentionally, it's going to hurt you. Now, because that we love one another, and that's when it hurts us the most. I know myself as a pastor, you'd be surprised what people says about me. Now, I got people that I'm not real familiar with, but I know people said some real bad things about me and tried to hurt me. That don't worry me too much. But you let somebody that I'm close to, some church member that I'm close to, begin to try to hurt me, it hurts worse. But somebody I don't know don't hurt me. So the one that I give you the gross joy is also the one that gives you the most pain. Because you see that you're hurt that way. But do not resist it. Old Matt Dillon approach. He's going to get his man. He's going to get his man. Always goes after his man. He always gets his man. Do not resist it. Hurt leads to anger. It leads to bitterness. Resentment. All three of these damages and cause us to have more suffering. In Hebrews 12 and 15 says, let no bitterness spring up, trouble you. Many be defiled. Don't let it grow and be defiled. Don't resist it. We got to face it. God in our hearts will be God in our hurts. But let no root of bitterness spring up into your heart and really trouble you. Therefore, many, many, many be defiled by that. And we do. We know what it does. It grows in it, and it takes roots. And it's hard to get out. The weed of bitterness and resentment and hurt. You know, weeds is hard to pull up. I mean, you got some weeds, this old pig weed. How many of y'all don't know what that is? Some of you do, but all weeds, you know, they got the biggest root system I ever seen. You can't hardly pull one of them up, but you know, you got your regular vegetable gardener, you're out in the field, you know, if you ain't careful, you can just pull that stuff right up. But weeds, they got deep roots. Well, the deep roots of bitterness in our heart, and it will defile you. It will defile you if you just let it grow in your heart in bitterness. And everybody knows this. What it do, it just stain. That's what the word defilement means. It means stain. Stains the heart. I don't know if they still have this or not, but banks, they have a pack of a dye. And if the bank gets robbed, y'all know if this have it or not, they still have this. If a bank gets robbed, they put this pack of dye in the money. And robbers, you know what, they take off. I don't know how they do this, but it's a certain amount of time, and this package is going to explode. And it's a package of dye. Did y'all know this? Y'all think I've robbed a bank before. I know about it. But I hadn't really. She's the one who cleans out banks. But anyway, when they take off. When they take off, it explodes, this dye package. And what it does, this dye covers all the money and gets on everything. And you can't wash it off. I mean, it's dye. You can't wash it off. It gets over on the money. This ink, it covers everything, defiles you. Well, this is the same word that's used here for defilement, stains. Now, if we allow bitterness to take root and defile us, it's going to explode, just like this bag of this ink package does. It's going to explode, and when it does, it's going to discolor everything around it. It's going to discolor how that you see your wife and your husband. It's going to discolor how that you see your children. It's going to discolor how you see and treat your brothers and sisters in the family. It's going to discolor how that you treat people at church. It's going to even discolor the people you work with on the job. It's going to even discolor how your relationship is towards God. When we let bitterness and hurt and anger take deep roots in our heart, there's going to come a time of explosion. And it's going to discolor everything around you. You're not going to see clearly because of all the ink everywhere. Don't let bitterness grow. These five things, if you deal with these, this pain of our heart, God will heal. But many of us choose, you know, to allow this package, you know, to blow up and be uncontrolled in our life. And we allow, you know, our past to control our present and also determine our future because of our past and bitterness and hurt that we've had. People hurt you, and it determines your present. And not only that, we will also determine your future by letting bitterness grow. Then there's a right respond to our hurts. In verse 5, you know, God says, you know, he's the host now. David says, no longer David viewing himself as the shepherd himself taking care of the sheep, but the Lord God, the great shepherd, is taking care of David. At verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let God defend you to start with. He's on when it can anyway. So we let God to defend you in the problems that we have in our life. You know, as the shepherd moves these sheep through the valley of the shadow of death and moves them through there, and it goes to a higher mountains and their plateaus. They stop on this plateau and they rest a while and they eat this good grass. Well, this plateau from plateau to plateau till they go to higher grounds. Well, the shepherd, he takes care of those sheep when they go into this plateau, this table. They'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Well, the shepherd, he goes to these plateaus, and those sheep, he checks out this plateau before he lets his sheep go in there and lay down and have them where they'll be grazed on this plateau. Now, this plateau, there's a lot of things, you know, that he needs to eliminate the threat and to eliminate. There's poisonous weeds, you know, like sometimes cows and horses, you know, they can eat poison weeds, and a lot of type of animal can eat poison weeds, well, sheep can too. So he has to go in and he check out, and he eliminates these poison weeds. And also there's a snake, it's called a little adder, over there around the Holy Lands. A little small snake, it goes in a hole, it makes a hole, it goes in a hole. He checks for these snakes because when a sheep is grazing, they'll bite him on the nose. A lot of times they'll kill the sheep. So he checks for all the snake holes, and he pours this oil on these snake holes where they won't come out. He pours it oil, and I read where they mix sulfur with it. I don't know what that does, but they won't come out. So he protects the sheep before he turns them loose on his plateau. God defends you, and he checks it out. He prepares a table for us. He's got all this checked out for us. In Romans 12 and 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is neither give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We want to fight back when we get hurt, don't we? The first thing we want to do is fight back. And then Luke 6 and 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Let God take care of it. He's the one that sets the table for us anyway. And he's like that shepherd. He's checking out everything's going to hurt us. And, you know, that table that you invite someone to come into your table, you make sure everything is just right for you. You invite somebody to come on your table. God makes everything just right for us. But then the second thing, let God minister to us. We hurt now. We've hurt. Somebody's hurt me. My family's hurt me. But we need to let God defend you, but also we need to let God minister to you. You have anointed my head with oil. Now, a shepherd mixes oil, and he rubs it on the head of the sheep. They have a scab. They have little small insects that bother them. He puts oil on their head. that protects the sheep. Oil prevents these little parasites from biting him and laying eggs in the places they shouldn't lay eggs. And you know, the sheep, they don't have a tail, long tail like an old horse or a cow to swat the flies with. And these insects, it takes over them. But what they'll do is they'll put oil on the spots, like around their head and their nose and other areas. They keep the flies from laying eggs. And you know, it's a bad sight, but think about they will bore into the skin. Some of y'all might be old enough to remember what we had in no-fence law. And back in those days, we had what they call the screw-worm fly. Any of y'all remember that? Any old farmers remember that? I know Thomas do, and remember what they call those screw-worm fly. That fly would light on places of animals, hogs, cows, a lot annihilated the deer at one time. Anything that got a scratch on it, any broken hide, this fly would light, look like a big old house fly, and they would lay these eggs and these what they call the screw-worm. They'd eat live flesh. And they would bore into it, and they would kill the animal. And if you ever had a hog or a cow or a horse or about anything, if something happened to their tail get cut off or they was born without a tail, the first thing that you done was got rid of that animal when it got big enough to get rid of. You sold it or you killed it or whatever else, because sooner or later they didn't have no way for protection of these flies. But we know they finally annihilated those flies by turning loose sterile flies, and so far we don't have any what I call any of these screw-worm flies today. And that was a great help to the farmers, for the ranchers, the cows, all type of farmers. But same way with the sheep, they have no way to fight. The shepherd has to put oil. We really don't have any way to fight. And God puts oil, he says, you anointed my head with oil. And Psalm 147:3 says, he healeth the broken heart and binds up their wounds. So what this oil does, it soothes and it heals. And, you know, someone has hurt you and, you know, you forgive them, but you see, when they do hurt you, and we've been hurt, that hurt don't immediately disappear instantly. Y'all know that? You forgive them. All right, you've hurt me. My family's hurt me. You've been hurt by somebody. All right, you take it to the Lord, and you say, Lord, they hurt me, and I forgive them. I forgive them. And you forgive them. And forgiveness is instant, just like that. Forgiveness is instant. Restoration takes time. Restoration takes time. How much? Weeks? Months? I don't know. Doctor operates on me. I had bypass surgery. I was over it in just a few hours. They sewed me up, got me back. The next day I was up walking. But I tell you, it took a while. It took a while for that restoration to heal. When you get hurt, it takes a while to smooth over the wounds. Psalms 45:7 says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, have anointed thee with oil of gladness above fellowship. That oil of gladness. Several ways God brings healing to us after we've been hurt and heals these scars and these wounds. And this restoration that takes maybe a month, year, or whatever it is. And we all know this. We all been hurt. And you need to forgive that person. But you see, it takes time for that restoration to bring you back. But one way God does this is through fellowship. Through church, through Sunday school, Wednesday, fellowship groups, Bible study, other believers. What it is, we need one another. That's really so important for us to attend church regularly. Regularly, and support one another just tonight. The fellowship here tonight, we respond to one another. It supports each and every one of us. And then prayers. When we get hurt, and when we get hurt by our loved ones or anyone else, when we get hurt, the biggest hurt, I says, come from those that we have the greatest joy with. We either talk it out with God, or we'll take it out on those loved ones. Prayer. If we don't talk it out to God, we'll take it out on our loved ones. And then, you see, worship. I covered that Sunday. When you engage with the Lord in worship, we come and praise the Lord in prayer. Brother Orville and all the great choir that we have here at Pleasant Hill, thank you, Lord, for everybody that takes part in our song service. When we come to worship, we engage in God and with God, and the music, the singing, the praise, the hearing of God's word, Sunday school, the preaching, God speaks to you. Speaks your heart, and he starts taking that heart and restoring it, those wounds. And then God uses ministries. Now, I'm not just talking about preachers, because we all, if you're saved here tonight, you are a minister. And God uses ministers for other people, for their healing. Now, the one that's the greatest qualified is the one that's been through the same thing that you're been through and through when you get hurt. No matter what you're going through, somebody else has already been through that before you. As we use our ministry to minister someone else, God not only heals that person, but it helps restore you also when we minister someone else. The greatest thing when we start thinking about somebody else has already been through that type of sickness. I know, again, I use myself with this bypass surgery because I won't never forget that. But you see, some people come in my room before I got operated on, and they talked to me about this, and some of them have been through bypass surgery before, and after they tell you about it, you know, it takes some of the edge off of it. I remember this lady. In fact, it was Joyce's sister. She had been through open heart surgery. Her valves had been replaced in her heart, and she said, "I be, it's bad. It's a bad operation." But she said, "It ain't as bad as you think it's going to be." Well, that helped my feelings if it did come from a woman. I'm bigger than she is. I'm a man. I can take it if she can. But somebody has already been through that. Say, it's not as bad as you think it is. You know, that few words, you know what, that helped me. Because, you see, there are stages that we know of that we have to go through in a sickness. Now, someone has had cancer. Somebody else had cancer. And they can relate to them because they qualify to talk to them about their sickness. And I can't talk to them about it. But they can. Someone's had a death of their brother and their sister in the family. They had death of their children here, even here tonight. Their wife and their husband. I can't relate to them. I can't say I know how you feel. But there's some of you that can. And God uses ministries that all of us have to help us get over these hurts. Every one of them. Lose your job? Other people's lost their jobs. I never done that. Some of your family's on drugs. Somebody else's family been on drugs. Everything somebody's had has already happened to someone else, and they made it with the Lord. Healing is in stages. You know, as I said, I've had surgery several times, and you know the first thing they do is run you in there and put you to sleep, and you're glad of that, and then go to cutting on you. Years ago, I had appendicitis, and I had to be operated on appendicitis whenever they had to cut you to do it. Now they stick a little hole in, you know, and you know, the next day you go home, and I had to cut me. Little old place about that long. The next morning, did you know what? That nurse, that crazy thing, did you know what? She wanted me to get up and walk. I wanted to hit her. You don't know what shape I'm in. If I throw my feet off a bed, my stomach's going to bust open. You're crazy. They knew, and the doctor knew, that I needed to get up. Y'all know the feeling? I needed to get up because, you see, if I get up, I knew that that's going to stay, the healing process be sooner. It's going to be a little bit sooner. We need to get up for the healing or start healing quicker. Did you know many believers has been down too long? Many of us have been down with hurt too long, and we need to get up. Even if we don't want to get up, we need to get up. And then, you see, I got scars. You got scars with surgery, I got scars. Now, these scars can do two things for you. They can remind you of all the hurt I went through, and sometimes they do, and all the pain. Or they can remind you that you are healed now. And the same thing with your scars in your life, in your physical life, in your emotional life, in your family life. These scars can remind you one or two things. They can remind you of the hurt, or also they can remind you of the healing that God has already brought back and put you back in good fellowship with your family and your loved ones. And then whenever it do, you are a trophy of grace for what God has done for you. And then let God satisfy your needs. My cup runneth over, and I got a long ways to go, but I won't be able to finish tonight. That's a great sentence there. My cup runneth over. I'd like to tell you more about this, but I won't have time tonight. But it means total and complete satisfaction. Total and complete satisfaction that God's going to meet everyone. I'm satisfied that, you know what, that God's going to meet all my needs. Been hurt, but God's going to restore it one of these days. I'm going to be out of that hurt, that I one of the days I'll be in heaven. You know, God's going to restore that. And my cup runneth over. Not only that, he's going to restore it, and he's going to give you more than that. He's going to run your cup over. You know, it's like this lady went in the bank and get a check cashed, and they cashed her check, and she sat there, and she counted her money one time. She counted her money again. She counted her money again, and the clerk finally says, "Lady, is anything matter?" She says, "No." She says, "Well, is all your money there?" She said, "It barely is." Well, that's the way some of us are. You know what? Did God meet your need? You say, "Well, he barely has." No, it ain't. He's running over. He's running over. You know, when he runs it over, what did he expect out of us? Freely receive, freely give. What did he expect out of us? Now, most of us, when he runs our cup over, we want to get a bigger cup. Isn't that right? In the Bible, you know, where the man, he said, "You know what, I've got a big harvest, you know, my barns are full, but I know what I'll do. I won't share it with nobody. I'll tear my barn down, and I'll build me bigger barns. I'll get me a bigger cup." And God has blessed you so great in your business, in your life, in your family, and your loved one, your friend, your health, and whatever it might be. You know what? He says, freely give. God give it to you. Freely receive, freely give it to us. God has not only just met our needs, he give us a cup runneth over. God did not create you and me, you know, to have all of our feelings met by human beings. You know, that's a lot of our problem. We think that a human being can meet all of our needs. And human beings, there no human being can meet all my needs. My wife cannot do it. My three sons cannot do it. No relationship on this earth can meet all my needs, human relationship. God did not create us that way, that human beings can meet all the needs in our life. He made us where we have to depend on God. So, the heading tonight, Joyce, you didn't make no mistake. I'll give you money back to you. It's really God in our hearts, isn't it? It's God in our hearts. Because he's the one that does the restoring. David said, you know what? My cup runneth over. God meets all of our needs. And how does he do this? One thing is by hope. Romans 15 and 13 says, now the God of hope fills with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He also does this in love. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another. Even those people that hurt you, love them. And towards all men, not just your family members, but all mankind, even as we do towards you. And then enjoy John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God, I want you to take this hurt away. By that, there's hope. God, I want you to take this hurt away. There's love in it. God, take this hurt away. There's joy. A cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Now in the Middle East, and I could keep on going on this cup running over. In the Middle East, whenever, you know, David penned this, and they still do this today. In the Middle East, if a guest comes into your tent or into your home, and you, the water is very, very precious, or no matter whatever you're drinking, but they fill your cup up. Would y'all like to have a drink of water? Boy, that's good. They fill your cup up, and if you drink it half down, they'll keep filling it up. And the custom is, now if they get ready for you to leave and you drink your cup down, they don't fill it up, that's a signal for you they've had enough, you know. Ready for you to get out of here. But now if they keep filling up until it runs over, that just saying, you know, everything that we have is yours. Everything that we can do for you, feel free. Everything mine is yours. Your cup just runneth over. Everything we have to meet your needs. So next time some family members come, some loved ones or friends, you get ready for them to leave, you explain this to them and don't fill their cup up anymore. It'll be time for them to go home. And God says, I'll just meet your needs, all our needs according to God's riches and glory. Well, we have needs of hurt, do we not? To be restored to our family and loved ones. God says, out of God's riches, that he says, you know what, I'll meet those needs. Out of my riches, now our riches, God. He's rich enough. He's rich enough to take care of all of our needs, is he not? You really have any needs that God has not met? Well, just remember, it's God in our hearts and God in our hurts tonight. Would anybody like to say, we still got about 30 seconds. Anybody like to say anything tonight? Anybody got a testimony if you say something might help somebody else? Anybody? Barry, you got a something? Anybody like to say something?